Unless the ideal social order can supply men with food, warmth, and comfort more efficiently than our present economic order, he warned, back we shall go to capitalism. The God that answereth by low food prices, he boomed, let him be God. Left-wing clergy like Rauschenbusch were convinced that the state was the instrument of God and that collectivism was the new order sanctioned by Jesus. Progressive clergy like Rauschenbusch laid the philosophical and theological foundation for statism in ways that the new crop of social scientists never could. They argued from pulpits and political gatherings and in the intellectual press for a total and complete reconception of Scripture in which redemption could only be achieved collectively. Conservative theologians argued that only the individual could be born again. The progressive Christians claimed that individuals no longer mattered, and that only the state could serve as divine intercessor. The Baptist social gospel preacher argued that the state must become the medium through which the people shall cooperate in their search for the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Inspiration for such ideas came from an improbable source, Bismarck's Prussia. Bismarck inspired American progressives in myriad ways, some of which have been touched on already. First, he was a centralizer, a uniter, a European Lincoln who brought disparate regions and factions under the yoke of the state, heedless of dissent. Second, he was the innovator of top-down socialism, which pioneered many of the welfare state programs the progressives yearned for: pensions, health insurance, worker safety measures, 8-hour workdays, and so on. Bismarck's efficiency at delivering programs without the messiness of excessive democracy set the precedent for the idea that great men, modernizers, and men of action could do what the leaders of decadent and decaying democracies could not. Moreover, Bismarck's socialism from above gelded classical liberalism in Germany and helped to hobble it around the globe. This was precisely his purpose. Bismarck wanted to forestall greater socialist or democratic radicalism by giving the people what they wanted without having them vote for it. To this end, he bought off the left-leaning reformers who didn't particularly care about limited government or liberal constitutionalism. At the same time, he methodically marginalized and in many cases crushed the classical or limited state liberals. A similar dynamic transpired in the United States during World War I. Hence in Germany, both left and right became in effect statist ideologies, and the two sides fought over who would get to impose its vision on society. Liberalism, defined as an ideology of individual freedom and democratic government, slowly atrophied and died in Germany because Bismarck denied it a popular constituency. In its place was the statist liberalism of Dewey and Du Bois, Wilson and FDR, a liberalism defined by economic entitlements and the alleviation of poverty. Then there was the Kulturkampf, a subject to be discussed at greater length in a later chapter. The important point about the Kulturkampf, lost on so many contemporary commentators, is that it was a liberal phenomenon. German progressives declared war on backward Catholicism, believing that their blending of science in a form of nationalistic social gospel was the ideology of the future. It was a model the progressives adapted to American soil.
This is the end of the CD. The program continues on the next CD.